I want to give you some quick Raptors history if I could, since we're on the subject. Did you know it's only been 3 Raptors players in franchise history to win this award? Damon Stoudemire, me, and a 6'7" rookie from West Palm Beach, Florida, my fellow Florida boy, Scottie Barnes.
The Toronto Raptors are still alive in the NBA playoffs. After it seemed all the air was sucked out of the Scotiabank Arena with Joel Embiid's game-winning triple in Game 3. The Raptors gutsily defended home court and made sure this series is going back to Philly. Now, it might be a little bit of an overstatement to say that the win has opened the series completely up, but if there is anyone to drop a 3-1 lead, we know it's Doc Rivers. This is your Balling in the Six on the Whistle podcast. Now, after capitulating, at least offensively, in Game 3 overtime, and for much of the second half, to be honest, it was important that the Raptors came out strong and, in Pascal Siakam's case, came out aggressive. This was highlighted by the number of times this man got to the free throw line, especially in the first half. It was interesting to see that he seemed to have, at least today, brought his mixed bag of tricks. You know, the spin moves, the mid-range, driving hard to the hoop. Because in Game 3, you could see that Philly had a pretty simple but effective defensive plan for him, which was essentially Embiid would come off his man, even if it was someone like Boucher or Precious who can shoot a three, and essentially block that lane. Because we know Siakam can drive past the likes of Niang and even Tobias Harris. But with Embiid there, he's extremely, extremely reluctant to go in. But you know what? Fair play to him. He made those comments after Game 3 that he has to be more aggressive. He didn't realize he only took 5 shots in the second half. And this time he just went all out. 10 of 19 from the field, 13 of 15 from the free throw line. He scored 34 points to go with 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 blocks. And for all, you know, the snap reaction last game, Siakam can never be a number one option. This guy showed up tonight and showed why he is the guy to carry this franchise forward. It was a much needed as well because Fred VanVleet, now at this moment we still don't know exactly what his injury is, but the fact that he ripped his jersey essentially in half when he went off in the second quarter shows that it's not an amazing sign. More details will come out, especially before Monday's game, but he left because of a left hip strain, did not return, went straight to the locker room, and essentially we could only see 15 minutes of VanVleet, and even in those 15 minutes, he wasn't looking comfortable. He was a plus on the floor, and credit to him for playing through and showing his commitment to the franchise, but this was not a comfortable night, and it was up to Pascal Siakam, essentially, to run the point in his 44 minutes on the floor. But interestingly enough, and I think literally for the first time this season, Scottie Barnes was available, and he came off the bench, and as you heard in that clip right at the start, he got a massive massive boost. Not only was he coming back from what looked like a season-ending or a playoff-ending injury, he just won Rookie of the Year. Now, we'll do a separate episode on that because it shows what an absolute magic draft pick it was from Masai Ujiri. It shows how Scottie Barnes' fundamentals have really come on. And in this game, he didn't look particularly comfortable on the offensive end. He was 1 of 6 from the field, 0 of 4 from the three-point line, but he got to the charity stripe reasonably. There was a beautiful and one just to start the second half, just to, you know, inject that bit of vigor into the Raptors' performance, especially as during the first quarter, I believe, it looked like he'd rolled his ankle and would not be able to return, but he came out strong. And, you know, for your guys playing point to get 11 rebounds, that's sort of a special, special performance, what likes of Russell Westbrook used to do. And he ended up a +3 on the floor despite poor shooting performance. So shout out Scottie Barnes. And it's very likely that He came in, obviously played 26 minutes today, eased in. He will be back even stronger for game four. And we'll discuss, we'll maybe do a preview of that at the end of this episode. But with no recognized point guard that, at least that Nick Nurse trusts, and I mean, Flynn got a 1 minute today, and that really shows what Nick Nurse thinks of him, even though he's probably the best defender of Tyrese Maxey, if I'm honest. But, you know, he's a black hole in offense, and the likes of Scotty and Siakam basically are going to be running point the next game. And a little bit of a bonus, right? We never like to see Van Vliet out, but because he was out, the Raptors were able to play that 6'9" positionless basketball. They were running lineups essentially, either Scotty or Siakam would run point. Then you have OG mainly in the game, and then maybe you mix up Boucher, Achiuwa, Thaddeus Young. And, you know, you've got that switchable basketball. And it was notable in this game that the Raptors, after three games of almost Philly nullifying whatever what the Raptors are good at, which of course is offensive rebounding, transition basketball, forcing turnovers, the Raptors essentially seem to do everything right today. Philly, in the end, with 15 turnovers. Now, the Raptors didn't take care of the ball so well themselves with 11, but the fast break points were completely worth it, and 13 offensive rebounds to 6. They out-rebounded a very big team in the Raptors, you know, in the 76ers, sorry. Only allowed Joel Embiid to grab 8 rebounds and forced him into 5 turnovers. And of course, James Harden himself was forced into 4. So the Raptors were doing everything right. I think if you think of game 1 and 2 as probably being won by the 76ers, a large factor was their ability to get to the free throw line, and the Raptors' inability, whether it was their own naivety or whether it was whistle-happy refs, to play physical defense. Game 3 sort of showed that Philly, just with their technical ability, especially Embiid, can just beat you whatever happens, and you need to come up with an effective defensive plan. The rotations weren't good enough in Game 3, but in this one, you could see a clear plan whenever the ball got into Embiid. So firstly, the plan was to deny him in the low post, because he got there a couple of times early on, and, you know, against the likes of Thad, against the likes of Boucher. Ken Birch started this game, but wasn't really a factor. He only played 6 minutes, but he started just to test it out, because he's not been a terrible defender of Embiid. But essentially, Embiid, stop him getting in the low post, and if he gets it on the floated catch, double him immediately. So what that did was force the ball out of his hands early, and as we said, he got 5 turnovers, but there's a lot of times he was just not, even outside of those turnovers, not making the right pass, not putting the right weight on it. Maybe it was a little too high, a little too low, and essentially it makes it more difficult for, you know, the shooter or the next ball handler. And that's something that doesn't show up on the box score, of course, but it's something that the Raptors did extremely well. And of course, all credit must go to Thad Young. He was Embiid's main defender today. It was something new, definitely. And of course, Thad, coming off an injury, didn't play so many minutes in game 2, wasn't able to. Game 3, a bit of a non-factor. But this game, he really did an excellent, excellent job on Joel Embiid. So not only, I mean, if you looked at his time at the Bulls, he would play as a small ball center. He is listed as a power point forward, but he would play as a small ball center. And he kind of showed his ability here, especially his strength. He grabbed 4 offensive rebounds. He was plus 14 on the floor. And what we said before, I believe, is a couple of episodes ago, he's a very sensible shooter on the offensive end. He went 1 of 3 from 3 points. He was left open mainly. And as we said, Embiid would kind of be happy to leave Thad Young open pretty much, as he would look to block that driving lane for Siakam. But he went 6 of 9 from the field overall. And, you know, it's just a very efficient performance on both ends. 3 steals, I should add to that. But he was a major, major part of why the Raptors were able to kind of nullify Embiid. And, you know, you look at it, Embiid's stat line today, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 turnovers. He only got to the free throw line 9 times, which is a big part of it. But the Raptors were pretty sensible in terms of, you know, there was a degree of vengeance, I would say, game 2 and game 3 especially, to kind of punish Embiid, who himself, of course, told Nick Nurse to stop complaining about calls. But the Raptors kind of kept their cool heads in here. There was one little moment with OG at the end getting a technical, but they kept their heads, and it was Embiid who was the one who was getting frustrated, visibly so. Whenever he was being doubled, he could not handle it. You know, it was absolutely brilliant to watch. And of course, they will change things up for Game 5 on Monday. You know, Embiid is not Jokic. Embiid is not that kind of player, so they will change things up. And of course, 22 points, he did have some success, but he shot under... he shot under 50% from the field. He wasn't that much of a factor in his 35 minutes on the floor. And quite frankly, I'm surprised that they didn't play B-ball Paul a little bit more. He was looked very lively in his 9 minutes. I know a couple of that was in garbage time. But 8 points, including 2 of 2 from behind the arc. He was maybe a little bit better spacing-wise for Philly. And of course, one major factor in this is that Embiid's right thumb is something he's likely to require surgery on afterwards. It didn't look comfortable. It hasn't looked comfortable in Game 3 and Game 4. But of course, Embiid's the kind of guy who will hit that game winner in Game 3, even with a broken thumb. And of course, if you remember back to 2019, Kyle Lowry actually played with something similar in his left thumb, I believe. So, you know, it's not unprecedented. It's not unheard of. But it seems the Raptors maybe, and I don't think this is a one-off just because of how slick and efficient the rotations were, have worked out Joel Embiid, and maybe have not having Fred VanVleet, and having, you know, that's the guy obviously you cannot switch onto Embiid, cannot double with Embiid, might be a little blessing in disguise. And lastly, while we're still talking about the positive, you've got to give a shout out to Gary Trent Jr. Didn't look amazing on the box score, but some difficult shots made towards the end of the shot clock in the first half really helped dig the Raptors out of some, you know, lackluster possessions and cobble together that initial lead. But we do have to come onto the negatives, of course. And, you know, while the likes of, you know, OG were and others were plus on the field, it wasn't ideal from an offensive end. The Raptors only shot 23.5% from three. They went 8 of 34. Philly pretty much shot a reasonable clip. You'd say it's not bad defending. They shot 42%, 13 of 31. James Harden in particular, guilty. And Danny Green, they went 2 of 8 and 2 of 7, respectively. But it's on the Raptors' end, because they weren't necessarily taking that many contested threes. They were open for the most part. But you look at OG, 1 of 7. Siakam, you'd kind of forgive him going 1 of 4 because, you know, he was bullying on the inside and he needed to play 44 minutes. VanVleet, 1 of 3 in his time. Gary Trent Jr., of course, 3 of 10. And while it looked like he was getting into a rhythm, there is still some weakness and streakiness in his game that, you know, you can compare to Danny Green. So when you come out on Monday, you do need that spacing. And it's something that, while Fred VanVleet's loss maybe on the defensive end won't be missed all too much, especially in this game, you struggle to see who will turn up with the trays. And apart from Gary Trent, you're not looking at Siakam or Barnes as a reliable shooter. So it's got to be OG kind of getting those reps, getting himself back into form. I mean, he had a decent game, and the 1-3 that he did make was, could be considered a dagger. It was an excellent three in the fourth quarter, contested by Tyrese Maxey, but, you know, he drilled it, and it's quite a brave one as well, because he maybe should have shifted it right to Gary Trent Jr. But I suppose when none of you can make a shot, you may as well just jack it up yourself, right? So where do we go in terms of starting lineups ahead of Game 5? Assuming Fred VanVleet doesn't come back, of course, you've got to start Scottie Barnes and Pascal Siakam together. One of them has to run the point at a time. You can then have the space to start Gary Trent Jr. and OG Anunoby. And it's interesting that fifth man, you'd probably go safe and traditional and maybe start with Ken Burch and give Thad Young those minutes. But there's also the option of Precious Achiuwa. I think Boucher is not ready just yet. I mean, he showed amazing hustle today, but he's not ready for that starting position yet, especially against Embiid. But Precious didn't do a bad job today. He was plus 10 on the field, and late in the fourth quarter, an amazing kind of jump step to extend the Raptors' lead. It would be basically between him and Thad in terms of getting the bulk of those minutes. But having kind of those different types of Embiid defenders isn't necessarily a bad thing. Of course, Achiuwa brings that raw energy and athleticism. Thad brings that experience and, you know, This podcast has been so high on him since ever since we picked him up. It's going to be a deal run. I mean, I think last podcast we said this is the minimum we want is, you know, let's extend it into the second week. Even if we lose in five, it's going to be difficult. You're going to come up against, you know, I don't think they'll be nervous at 3-1. If we do take another one, the nerves will start kicking in for Philly. But instead, I think they'll just be frustrated. They'll be angry. They were probably hoping to sweep, get Embiid's thumb some rest, get themselves some rest against what's likely to be a pretty tough matchup. I mean, the Hawks are looking pretty good. I still think Miami will reign supreme, but either of those teams are looking pretty good and will probably be more of a test than the Raptors. But, I mean, there's nothing you can do but be proud of this team going forward. Underachievers, or should I say overachievers, Scottie Barnes winning Rookie of the Year, Siakam looking like number one option, and pretty much the whole team just together at the minute. Nick Nurse has done such a wonderful job, and you know, shouts out to him, should be Coach of the Year. Probably won't be nominated as one, especially with performance of some Western Conference teams, but what a performance today, and it's kept the Raptors series alive, and it's kept some hope alive, because goddamn, we could not face another sweep.